flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 12:08. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Man, I tell you, when I just heard that commercial about how long this station has been in our community and how it has reported on everything from the president being assassinated to the Twins victories, the biggest victory for the Twins, I have to stop and pause and just say how grateful I am to be a part of such a storied legacy and such a dynamic team. It is not lost on me that this station has history and is a legacy in our community. So I walk a little bit more proud and I am a little bit more grateful today for being a part of this team and the history of this station. I tell you that commercial did it for me. It just took me to a whole nother level. I am so glad you all are checked in and checking out the Shaletta Show today. We will be here until 3:00. We've got a great list of guests and lineup of folks who will be joining us. And I'm so excited. My friend Joe Schmidt is coming. He's got a new children's book out, so he'll be joining me. Also, if you love to eat like I do, I have got a great opportunity for you to hang out, meet a dynamic chef, and some new best friends and talk about the stories that happen behind the menu. You ever been to a restaurant and wonder, why they making the food like that? Why this ingredient? Why is this meal called that? Well, you know, there's a story behind every menu. Whether it is the legacy and the heritage of the chef or the owner, there's a story behind it. And so we're going to talk about how we can eat and learn about some stories behind the menu. And I don't know about y'all, but ever since winter started, I have been having a hard time sleeping. I go to bed early with the kids and then I'm up at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm up all day. And then by 3 o'clock, I'm ready to crash. And I haven't been as productive. I just finished answering some emails from Friday. And y'all know that's not like me. I answer emails like right away because I don't want to miss out on any opportunities. And so, you know, just kind of being up on Facebook, I'm seeing a whole bunch of people up like, hey, it's 4 a.m. Is anybody else up? Why am I up at 4 a.m? I'm like, so I'm not by myself. So I'm going to bring on later today a woman known around town as the sleep doctor. She is a doctor. She's an ENT. And she's going to talk to me about, you know, just kind of how these weather patterns and changes impact our sleep. But first, I have got to talk to someone today on the show because there's so much going on with the Metro Blue Line Extension. It's coming to our community. And it's going to happen in 2030, and it's going to extend the light rail beyond Target Field Station, which is now the end of the line. This new 13-mile track is going to go through the North Loop, cross Interstate 94, then go through North Minneapolis, and then to Robbinsdale, Crystal, and end in Brooklyn Park. And I know y'all saying, you just talked about this, like, last month, right? I was on vacation with my family for Christmas, and there was some brouhaha going on. And I was like, what is happening? What's going on with this new Blue Line extension project that's coming to the north side of Minneapolis? And the reason that it touches me so much, ladies and gentlemen, is because my church is there. So a lot of people who are going to be impacted by this live there. We sit on the same pew in the same row as them. And if they're impacted, guess what? All of us are being impacted. And so I've got to get to the bottom of this. I got to figure out what's going on. I want to talk to the planners of this Blue Line to hear what the community is saying. They've got these community outreach coordinators, and these people have been hired to listen and make sure that they answer the questions and give feedback to folks who are being impacted, who are afraid, who don't want this to be Rondo 2.0. And so I invited Joanna Ocasio-Mazene to the show. She is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Miss Joanna, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, my goodness, Miss Shaletta. It's my honor. Shout out to you, first and foremost. I'm just grateful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Now, I have to ask you, because this is the thing about me, because I work at the radio station, people don't think I know everything, and I don't. And so when I go to church, people have valid concerns in North Minneapolis about the Blue Line extension. And so they're coming to me, which means that I have to then come to you and ask you, what is going on? Now, you're an outreach coordinator. What kind of job is that? What do you do? Do you live or work on this line? Do you own your own business in the neighborhood?
Oh, man. So, Ms. Shaletta, first and foremost, I've been with Metro Transit for 13 years and change. And I have focused on Minneapolis, primarily North Minneapolis. So I know my way around just a little bit.
Okay.
I actually don't live on the Blue Line extension, but I do live on the Green Line extension, or on the Green Line, which is within, I live within walking distance of the Rice Street station.
Oh, okay. Right. I know exactly what it is. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay, ma'am.
Now, tell me this. You're an outreach coordinator. How do you do the outreach? Are you knocking on folks' doors? Are you setting up meetings? Are you cold calling? How do you hear from the community about what they want with this project?
All of the above and then some. We physically go out door to door and talk to people. If we can't get a hold of people, we leave notices on their door with our contact information, a summary of the project, typically a timeline. We chat with people over the phone. People can communicate with me via email at any time. I do respond to emails on the weekend. we set up community meetings. One popular spot that we use is the theater over North Minneapolis.
Oh, yes. Capri Theater. It is beautiful. Shout out to Dennis Spears for making that place available to the community. Yes.
Yes. Love the Capri. Yeah, but we go all over the place since the project, you know, spans from North Loop to North Minneapolis to Robbinsdale to Crystal to Brooklyn Park. We're all over the place. All over the place.
Okay, now talk to me about this, because, you know, on one end of town and in one newspaper, you're hearing one thing. Folks say they don't want it. They don't like it. They're afraid of it. On one end of town, you're hearing this is the best thing that's going to happen. It's a once in a generational opportunity to bring great mass rapid transit to a community that is typically underserved and transportation insecure. You are out there on the front line. I need to ask you, what are you hearing from the people in the community?
Okay, so honest answers only. I hear a vast mixture of concerns, of support, of, you know, support with concerns. People have every right to feel how they feel about this project. It's impacting them directly. It's impacting where they shop. It's impacting where their children play. There's definitely there's a variation of questions, comments, things of that nature.
Now, this is the one thing that I appreciate about what you are doing with your job, Miss Joanna, is that you're asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You're responding to folks. You check email on a Saturday, which is why you here. I work on a Saturday. There's no way for you to check email on a Saturday if, you know, you. So I know you're telling the truth about that part. But this is the question I want to know. In the past, mm-hmm. when big transportation things happen, you know, like I just can't stop thinking about 94.
Yes.
Came and plowed through Rondo in St. Paul. This was a nationally known, strong, historic, middle-class African-American community with dozens of business owners and a legacy that everybody across the nation knew about, and it destroyed that.
Yeah.
I just want to know, because they never asked. It's like the black people were told, you just got to move. You just got to get up and go. And nobody knew what was coming until they saw it coming. Mm-hmm. You know, talk to me about your role as an outreach coordinator. Like, is it meant to keep history from repeating itself and give the community a actual say-so in what's happening?
Absolutely. You know, so I'm going to say this as, you know, a woman of color and not as, you know, an employee of Metro Transit. The government has a history of decision-making without being inclusive of people of color, people who are historically disenfranchised. So that's the first thing. I have seen it with my own eyes. I've witnessed it. I've experienced it. So, mm-hmm. you know, let's just be transparent and say that and put that on a shelf for a moment. Yes, you know, I think that what we're trying to do is we are, you know, once again, trying to incorporate our decision-making with the feedback from the communities that we're going to be affected. We want to make a decision with the people, not for the people. History shows that that has not worked well in the past. It's caused more damage than it's done good. And in order to create a product that works for people, we need their input. Period.
Okay. Hold on, because we got to take a break. I have more questions, because what I want to know is when you go out in the community and you're having these meetings and you're talking to these people and you're getting this feedback via email, what then do you do with that information? We're going to talk more with Joanna Ocasio-Mezenay when we come back. It is 1222. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. You ever go somewhere and they have those little suggestion boxes on the wall and you fill out a little slip or a little sheet and you slide it into the hole with the lock on it and you wonder, will anybody ever see that? Is anybody going to read that? Is there going to be any change made? And so that's the question I have to pose to Joanna Ocasio-Mezenay. She is joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. We're continuing our discussion from the last break, where we were talking about the outreach coordinators with the new Metro Transit Blue Line Extension Project. And you, Joanna, explained to us so well that people have an open invitation to respond to you, to reach out to you, to come to you at these community meetings, to talk about this project and what they want and what they don't want, their fears, their frustrations, as well as their celebrations, and them being just excited, some of them, that finally we get something like this in our community. Because I've heard it all, just like you're hearing it all. But what I have to wonder is what are y'all doing with the comments that you get?
Yes, good question. Thank you. So let me just give you an example. When the route was proposed to run through a certain portion of Lyndale, there were folks in that specific neighborhood that were opposed to it. They just didn't want it. They had their reasoning, and they were vocal about it. We didn't try to stifle their voices. We didn't try to convince them otherwise. We had to have an open dialogue with these folks. And guess what happened? We ended up having to change our plans entirely and reroute the proposed alignment and ended up deciding on 21st when people on a strip of West Broadway, you know, voiced their opinion and said, you know, we don't think this is what's best. you know, for our community in this patch and so forth. So I want people to know, I want to encourage people to give their feedback. None of this is in stone yet. The way that we develop these lines is primarily based on, you know, community feedback. If the community doesn't want it, we can't do it. Which leads me to say that we also want to be open-minded and fair to the people who are in support of the alignment. We want to hear from everybody. And, you know, sometimes the squeaky wheel tends to get the oil in certain situations, but we want to make sure that across the board, we have the majority vote on whatever it is that we're doing.
Okay, now, and that's the thing that I, you know, because the people want to make sure that the community wants to feel like this is happening for them and not to them, because it happened to Rondo. Right.
Yes.
It happened to Olson. If we really want to go all the way back, how are you making sure that people understand that the work that you're doing is happening for them and not to them?
Sure. You know, community outreach has a large amount to do with it. You know, we go out. Not only do we talk to people, we provide them plans. We show them what this project is physically going to look like. We collaborate with Juxtaposition Arts in North Minneapolis. Those young adults have been wonderful about building us models to show where the train is going to run, what the alignment's going to look like, what it's going to cut through, what it's going to serve. And a lot of times I think that those visuals help people better understand how this is going to affect their community. Because you can throw plans at people and use big words all day long, but that's not outreach.
No, it's not. Because you're talking over somebody's head, that's going to make them not trust you. That's going to make them not believe you. That's going to make them feel like, you know, they don't even have the right questions because they don't even know what the answer is that you just gave them. Now, and I tell people this all the time, because I work a lot with families who have children with special needs. And I tell them that change is disruptive. Even good change is disruptive. If you leave your abusive husband, that's change. That's good change, right? But it's disruptive, right?
Yeah.
If you take your autistic child out of a school that is not serving them and put them somewhere new, even though it's a good change, that is disruption. You got to go to a new school, learn the new teachers. All of this stuff has to happen. And this is going to create disruption. Some of the buildings and businesses that will have to go make way for the line. There's a lot of noise out there about that. But I know people who, like you said, are in support of this. Talk to me about it, because, you know, you are close to finalizing the recommended route. So I guess now is really the time for people to get in touch with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I do want to say this, especially about the North Minneapolis portion. One of the largest concerns that we have is not that there's going to be a light rail there, but that there's already such limited parking for the businesses in North Minneapolis. That has historically been an issue. You know, people have to park on the street right on West Broadway, even though, you know, it's posted that there's no parking from 2 to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. I am guilty of this, okay? I just dodged a ticket because I was unloading my car at the Capri, and, you know, the people stopped by and said, hey, you know, you can't do that. I'll ticket you next time. But if this is a concern, be boisterous, be loud about it. Don't let it die out. Don't let the conversation die out. We're aware that there has to be some accommodation for parking in North Minneapolis, and we're working on it along with Hennepin County to try to figure out, okay, what can we do to keep parking or increase parking and have this line run through the community successfully.
Okay, now we talked about people being able to get to you, people being able to connect with you. And my phone right now is charging, but I'm looking on the floor and everybody is lighting me up like, you ain't told me how I can connect with her. So before you go, can you please tell us how folks can connect with you, people who are in North Minneapolis, who listen to this show, that I attend church with, that I'm in community with? How can they get in touch with you to voice their concerns or get some more information or find out when the next meeting is, because they want to be there?
Yes, thank you. So, you know, I could give you like our long website.
It's girl, don't do that. Give us something easy. Give us a phone number because folks is driving.
I hate when people do that to me. I'm like, I'm not going to write all
right.
that down.
www.allofit. Yeah, no.
Exactly. So a couple of things. You can always contact me directly. I'm at 612-227-5915.
Okay, hold on. Say that again.
612-227-5915.
Okay.
Folks can always contact me. I answer. I respond to voicemail. You can also go to, you could just Google Metro Blue Line Extension, and you can click on the Outreach tab, and that will take you to all of the outreach coordinators. So don't bombard me specifically if you're not Minneapolis or Brooklyn Park. We do have other outreach coordinators for Crystal, Robbinsdale, and then another portion of North Minneapolis. Any of those folks would love to listen to your concerns, do a presentation, show you role plots. Whatever it is that you need, we're here for you.
Well, I thank you so much for being on the show and for taking the time on a Saturday to make sure that the folks who listen to me and trust me get the information that they need about this project. Thank you so much for being here and have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you. You as well.
All right. And y'all stick around. I'm talking to Uncle Joe when we come back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
I remember the day like it was yesterday. I walked into the KSTP newsroom, just a little old green behind the ear, fresh plucked up out of the bayous of Louisiana in Minnesota. And it was my first winter. I moved here. I don't know what I was thinking. In November, I had a job as the overnight assignments editor at Channel 5. And They told me to buy boots, make sure I bought boots because I would need boots to walk in the snow. And I'd never walked in the snow. I didn't know anything about snow boots in Texas. So I went out to Nine West and I bought high heel boots. And so I was slipping and sliding all over the KSTP parking lot. It was just a sight to behold. I think they have it on video somewhere. I'm not exactly sure. But it was just too much, y'all. It was too much. And I remember I did not go to work the first day that I was here in the snow because I thought you didn't have to go to work in the snow. And so when Bob Sabo, my boss at KSTP, called me, he said, "Shaletta, where are you?" I said, "I'm at my house. What you doing?" He said, "I'm at work. Why are you not at work?" I was like, "Oh, it's snowing." I didn't know we went to work in the snow. Well, the funniest part is that I actually live right across the street from KSTP. And so he said, "Step out on your balcony." And so when I stepped out on the balcony of my little apartment, this is before the light rail was there, the entire like newsroom team, they were out there. And everybody was cracking up laughing because I was in my pajamas. I was drinking hot cocoa and eating oatmeal and watching Scooby-Doo because I didn't think that we had to go to work in the snow. Now, I know Bob was out there, Tim Burns, Danielle, Becky Nam, Lindsay Radford, but I don't know if Joe Schmidt was out there. So I had to call him and find out. Now, Joe, were you one of the like 5,100 people that were standing on the front stoop of KSTP laughing at me because I didn't come to work? I thought I didn't have to go to work when it snowed outside. Were you there as well?
I call it the highlight of my broadcasting career. It was like a scene out of a Saturday Night Live skit.
I swear, Uncle Joe, you know, I'm down in Texas. If it thinks about snowing, we're shutting it down. I swear, it didn't even occur to me to call and check in. I was like, oh, it's snowing. I ain't going nowhere today. And right, Uncle Joe, I was like 10 paces. Y'all were literally standing there watching me on the balcony of my little apartment complex at 808 Berry laughing and pointing.
Well, the good thing is somehow you stayed here, which is amazing.
Amazing. Amazing. I don't know how it happened. I really don't. It's the grace. We call that the grace of God. That's what we call that. We call that the grace of God. I'm so glad you are here. You have never been on my show. How is that possible?
I don't know how that's possible because this would be then the second greatest moment in my broadcasting career.
I am so honored that you are here, and I am so excited about what you got coming up and coming out today. My kids are going to be there at 4 o'clock. You've got to tell us about this new children's book.
Well, it's how things sometimes happen that you never expect to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was exactly what happened here. I had written two books, Silent Impact and The Impact Blueprint, and my publisher is Wise Inc., and they're a local self-publishing company that does an amazing job. And Amy Quilve is the owner, and she called me up. And she said, Joe, you have to write another book. And I said, I don't really want to write another book because it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Yes, it is.
It's a lot of work. And then anyway, she said, but I'm thinking something different. Why don't you write a children's book? I speak all over the country as an inspirational business speaker, and one of the stories I tell is the Joe Mauer story because I talk about how we all need to be more aware and intentional with our impact.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so what Joe did is he walked a young student when he was a senior in high school. You got to realize Joe was the best high school athlete in Minnesota, so he was a really cool dude. And he walked arm in arm with a young blind student by the name of Mike Hawley out to the lunchroom and had him come and sit down at his table. And Mike normally ate alone until Joe did that. Mm-hmm. So I went and I found those seven guys who sat around that table and got all these great stories about the impact it had. Well, long story short, so I tell that story. Long story short, it's really been a signature story for me. People really get it because they realize that one small act of kindness can resonate. And so I went to Joe and I said, Joe, I'd like to write a children's book on this. And Joe was hesitant at first. And then I said, but here's my idea. And I said, my idea is that we have all the money go to charity.
Oh.
And then as we talked, we all sudden came up with another idea. His wife, Maddie, was in the conversation. We had breakfast and we thought, let's get people to donate books too. They can buy a book, mm-hmm. donate a book, donate books. So we are going to donate books to over 500 elementary schools in Minnesota. Tonight is our book launch at Target Field. And, we expect to get a lot more donations tonight. So it's just all goodness. I mean, it's a win-win-win situation. A win, we're making money for two great charities, which mm-hmm. I can talk about later. It's a win because we're going to put books in kids' hands who might normally not have books. We're going to try to go after book deserts in Minnesota. And three, the values in this book on kindness and compassion and caring are things that I think sometimes get a little bit overlooked. You know, we're in a society today where everything is divisive and everybody argues and everybody's mad. This kind of tells you that you can win if you're kind, and there's nothing wrong with it. And it's hitting a new generation because this is kind of a book for kindergarten, first, second, third graders.
Okay, now talk to me about this entry for you into the early childhood reading realm.
Well, that's very interesting because the same thing I thought is how can I write for children? And, I thought about in the television business, as you well know, as a savvy veteran of the TV business, you know, we have to write concise, uncomplicated, we have to take complicated stories and make them easy. So I thought, I'll just take that to the next level. And then on top of that, I have a daughter who happens to be a second grade teacher.
Oh.
She was my first editor. And it was interesting. I had one passage where I did a time transfer, like you would do in a novel, you know, all of a sudden you flashback. And she said, you have to take that out. She said, these kids will not understand that at all. And I was like, okay. And, you know, then, you know, obviously you just, I had editors at Wise Inc. look at it too. And quite frankly, even Joe and Maddie, you know, took a look because I wanted to make sure they were comfortable with that story. And we told a couple of other stories in the book too that really relate to values. We honor Mike Hawley, the young man who is the young fine student, and we're going to have him at the book launch tonight. And it's also a tribute to Joe's parents, and particularly his dad, who we lost 1 year ago. You know, here Joe's about maybe to have the greatest moment of his career on Tuesday, getting in the Baseball Hall of Fame. And, you know, his heart hurts, you know, because the one man is not going to be there for it. But this is really a unique way to honor him, because we do have a story in there about Joe and his dad.
That is going to be so amazing. And, you know, talk to me about the illustrations. I, you know, kind of got my hands on the little sneak preview. I'm not going to tell you where I got it from, because I don't want to get nobody in trouble. Hey, dear Beavis. But I got my hands on a sneak preview and a copy of this book, and I was just so blown away. Did you have any input? Did you work hand in hand with the illustrators on this?
Well, so what happened was the illustrator is a guy named Kevin Cannon. And you people might remember Kevin. He was the official artist of the state fair.
Okay. I thought that name sounded familiar.
He was the official artist of the St. Paul Winter Carnival. But he has done 20 children's books. He has a year and a half waiting list to illustrate children's books. He heard about this project and put it forward because he thought, hey, it's Joe Mauer. Everything's going to charity. You know, I want in. And I will tell you this, you know, it's so interesting because I would see the mock-ups of the drawings, and there were just a couple of little things that I suggested to change because he's so talented. But when I got my hands on the book, I got goosebumps. It's the most beautiful children's book. It's unbelievable how pretty this is. And, you know, I've got, since yesterday we did some media, and I've had like three bookstores already reach out to me instead of reaching out to the publisher or the distributor.
Well, that's because we know you. That's what I did. I didn't go through the normal channels. I called Uncle Joe.
Exactly. So then, this morning I woke up and it was number one on Amazon in children's books today.
Oh my God. Already. We haven't even had the book launch this afternoon. Already?
Yeah, and it just tells you that I think here's what it tells you. I mean, there's no question that Joe Mauer is the draw is Joe Mauer, but I think people really like the idea of the story it tells and the lessons it tells, and I think that's really going to resonate. And you know, I'm thrilled to death that this thing is taking off because not just because I wrote it, but because I know it's going to do for these two charities. And the interesting thing about these two charities is they're both smaller charities that make a huge impact in the area they serve. Mm-hmm. And they're getting, besides getting all the proceeds of these book sales, they're getting a lot of publicity.
They sure
and
are.
Their phones are ringing off the hook.
Yes, they
and
are.
They're getting donations, and it's like, I love it.
Okay, wait a minute. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Stay with me because my phone lines are blowing up. My text messages are blowing up. Folks want to know how they can buy the book, where they can send a donation. We're talking more with Uncle Joe Schmidt when we come back. 12:49. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. And talk about good. In the Star Tribune, on KSTP's website, was here earlier this week with Vanita on the morning show. The number one children's book on Amazon right now is written by the man that is on the Shaletta Show right now. My kids know him as Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe Schmidt joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. The Right Thing to Do, the Joe Maurer Story, a children's book. This is amazing. Okay, first of all, congratulations on everything. This is just incredible.
Well, Shaletta, you've been there working with kids and making an impact in the community with your books and your media and all the great stuff you do, and you know it just comes back to you in spades, so it's an honor to do it. I do want to tell you how the name of the book happened. So when I started writing my first book, Silent Impact, mm-hmm. when I was looking at you know, people who make small gestures that all of a sudden have a big impact on people. You know, they're more aware and intentional of the impact they have. So I dug into this story about Joe walking Mike to the lunchroom. And I call Joe, we meet, and I interview Joe, and I said, Joe, why did you do that? And Joe's answer was, because it was the right thing to do.
Mm.
That became the name of the book, The Right Thing to Do. And when you think about it, you know, what are you trying to teach your kids? You know, what kind of values are you trying to emulate for your kids by doing the right thing? And so that's why I think it's kind of off to a hot start. And, you know, hopefully we get really lucky on Tuesday and Joe gets in the Baseball Hall of Fame and the momentum continues.
Right. Okay. Now talk to me about where folks can buy these books. Talk about momentum. Everybody wants a copy. Folks are getting it. They're buying it, not just for their homes. And this is why it's number one. They're buying it for themselves and their kids. They're buying it for the neighbors. They're buying it for the church. They're buying it for the libraries. They're buying it for the teacher's nook in the classroom. Everybody wants to make sure that everybody else has a copy of this book.
Yes, and the easiest way to go is this pretty simple, joemaurerbook.com, joemaurerbook.com. And you can buy books on there. You can read more about the story, and you can also donate. And then we are going to distribute those books. Some people are buying, you know, books themselves, and then they're bringing them to certain schools mm-hmm. or classes. I heard somebody's buying a bunch for a first communion class. I mean, it's just kind of fun how this momentum has taken off, and it's gone crazy. And like I said, tonight's the book launch. Mm-hmm. The first public place people can buy the book will be at Twins Fest on the 27th. That's a week from today.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know bookstores will have it because now our distributor will be getting calls from a lot of bookstores
yeah.
because people they want that Joe Maurer book.
They gotta have it. They got, especially after Tuesday. Everybody gonna want that. Now you talked about some of the charities that you all are gonna be donating to. Some of the folks that are gonna be a direct recipient of the proceeds from this book. Talk to me about those.
Yep. The first one is Thumbs Up for Mental Health, and the neat story behind Thumbs Up for Mental Health. It's a charity based out of Elk River. They're in three school districts up in the North Metro, and they have a program now called No One Sits Solo, based on the Mike Hawley Joe Maurer story, and they have curriculum with it. And the young lady who started the charity, her name is Katie Shatusky. She got Silent Impact book. She read the Joe Maurer story mm-hmm. and thought, I need to do something. She started that charity 10 years ago. And it is still going strong. And like I said, they started this great program, basically trying to take care of, you know, the outcasts, the kids who sometimes you read about in the paper that, you know, are, you know, shunned and made fun of and bullied. And they're trying to make sure they have a safe space for these kids and that they can grow and learn and realize that we're all more alike than we are different. And, So they're doing a great job. So that's the first charity. The second charity is Joe's favorite charity, which is the Highland Friendship Club, which Joe was there from the very start of. And what they do is they work with kids and adults with handicaps and special needs. and just give them as much normalcy as they possibly can. They do a bunch of special events like bowling and baseball and, and what have you, and make all those kids feel very special. And Joe has been involved in that since day one. So it was pretty easy to pick two charities to give all the proceeds to.
Well, I just can't thank you enough for putting this story out into the world and helping us get back to the values that our children need. So oftentimes, Uncle Joe, you know this, they spend more time on the iPads than they do talking to the parents. I'm guilty of it. They'll take that iPad and I get some work done. And in the meantime, we have not talked. We haven't shared. And to be able to share some of Joe Maurer's father's values and to remind us as parents to get back to basics. I don't know about you, but this book is going to mean just as much to me as it will for my children when they read it.
Well, thank you. And you know, Joe is the one who said it best, and Joe Maurer. He said, you know, what I'm hoping this book does is spark conversations at the dinner table about values. Mm-hmm. And I think in today's age, as you mentioned, we all get so busy. We all have this social media. Everybody's schedule is so packed. You know, when do you really sit down and talk to kids about values that are really important? And when do you kind of let them know that, you know what, you can be kind, and guess what that does? It brings back people who like you. People want to be around you. You'll have this positive energy. You know, just things like that that we all kind of know, but we need to be reminded of. And we certainly need to, you know, give to our kids, make sure they understand that value.
Well, I thank you so much for this book, for sharing this story with the world. We will see you this evening for the big book launch. I'm so excited to get it out to the world. And I know I'm going to be buying copies for my church and, you know, my kids' teachers, and so many other people are going to be doing the same. Joe Schmidt, thank you so much and congratulations on everything.
Shaletta, I loved you since the day I saw you standing out in the snow. And you keep kicking butt and taking names, dear.
All right. Love you. And y'all stick around. We've got more to come on The Shaletta Show right here on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station.